This is VOA China 360 on the Voice of America with me, Michael Lippin, bringing you a new podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world and how China is influenced by the world, including America. Our focus this week is on Hong Kong's number two official, who made a good impression on some of America's most prominent think tanks last week during a rare visit to Washington. That's where her government has faced increased scrutiny for its handling of recent political unrest. It was Carrie Lam's first visit to the U.S. Capitol since becoming Hong Kong's chief secretary in 2012, a visit that her boss, Chief Executive C.Y. Leung, has yet to make since he took office that same year. Lam had expressed some apprehension about the trip. Before flying to Washington, she told a luncheon in San Francisco that she expected to have discussions on human rights and political issues that may not be very pleasant, as she put it. Those unpleasant issues appeared to be a reference to Hong Kong's mass pro-democracy protests that occupied major city streets for almost 3 months in 2014. Lam also appeared to be referring to the subsequent collapse of her government's electoral reform package in 2015, a collapse that has left the city's democratic development in limbo. Hong Kong's government said Lam discussed the failure of those Beijing-backed reforms during her three-day Washington visit, which took place from June 6th to the 8th. But the Hong Kong Economic and Trade Office in the U.S. Capitol released few other details of Lam's closed-door conversations, which she had with U.S. diplomats, lawmakers, and business leaders, as well as political analysts. And there was no comment at all on those talks from either the Obama administration or from several U.S. House and Senate members contacted by VOA. But two analysts who attended Lam's meetings with Washington research institutes were willing to speak to VOA and gave her positive reviews. One of them was Brookings Institution senior fellow Richard Bush.
Mrs. Lam comes across as a very capable and articulate person, someone who's in a really impressive command of the various issues that the Hong Kong government has to manage, and not at all naive about the problems that the territory faces.
And this was how the Heritage Foundation's research manager Anthony Kim described his group discussion with Lam.
It was nice back and forth, lively. I think, you know, she was trying to convey the details as much as she could, and I think that efforts were warmly received. And, you know, this kind of speech and remarks are not easy, but I think, you know, she conveyed a very balanced and nuanced, detailed message.
A Hong Kong press release says part of Lam's message was expressing disappointment that pro-democracy lawmakers vetoed the government's electoral reforms. Those lawmakers said the proposals did not give Hong Kong people what they call a genuine choice of candidates for chief executive. The Hong Kong government countered by saying that it was more important for its reforms to adhere to the city's constitution or basic law, which limits who can run for chief executive under a system of universal suffrage. Under those limits, the only candidates who can stand for election would have to secure majority approval from a nominating committee resembling an existing body dominated by government loyalists. Bush of Brookings says Lam and her colleagues tried to work within those rules by creating what he called a rather creative plan.
It created a two-stage process, and it made possible consideration by the nominating committee of a range of potential candidates, including people on the pan-democratic side of a moderate persuasion. And so this created, I think, a narrow pathway for a moderate pan-democrat to be nominated and conceivably to be elected chief executive.
Since the plan was vetoed, that pathway remains closed, meaning the next chief executive to take office in 2017 will be chosen once again by government loyalists who dominate the existing committee. It is a prospect that has continued to fuel street protests by pro-democracy activists. But heritage researcher Kim says Lam and the Hong Kong government have been effective in keeping the situation under control.
You know, Hong Kong, it's a very dynamic city economy. It's rule of law. It's not like, you know, near collapse or anything like that. I think despite all, you know, the downs and, you know, the all the sort of negative news we may have seen over the past month, the rule of law there, I think it's been well preserved.
Brookings senior fellow Bush says U.S. interest in the Hong Kong government's performance got a boost from media coverage of the 2014 Occupy protests. And Kim says he expects that interest to grow even further.
A lot of observers in Washington, D.C. will pay greater attention to the future of Hong Kong. So especially going forward, getting into 2017, which will mark the 20th anniversary of Hong Kong's return to mainland.
Bush says another reason to watch Hong Kong is because mainland China could draw inspiration from the way its autonomous region deals with challenges.
In a way, this is what happens in Hong Kong is a leading indicator of what may happen politically in China in the long-term future. There are things that Beijing could learn from Hong Kong in how to govern an advanced metropolitan society. And so whether or not there's progress in Hong Kong's political system and in maintaining competitiveness in a globalized world is not a trivial matter.
How important do you think Hong Kong's political fate is for U.S.-China relations and for the world as a whole? You can share your opinions with me on Twitter at VOAChina360 and on my Facebook profile, Michael.Lippin, as well as on YouTube at youtube.com/mlippin and on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. Also, feel free to tell me what you'd like to hear on future editions of VOA China 360, and I hope you can join me next week.